Amen. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is December 4th, year 2011. It's the second Sunday in Advent. Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
All right, I'm going to be reading from the RGMI book, Faith Before the Mass and Sacraments. And we're going to read under the subchapter called Other Considerations, and the subtitle is False Consolations Are an Operation of Error from God. Many nominal Catholics say they are consoled when they go to confession, attend Mass, receive the Holy Eucharist, or pray the Holy Rosary. Now, nominal Catholic means people are not really Catholic. They're notorious heretics. They think they're Catholic, but they're not. They say they're Catholic. They say they believe in the papacy and the Pope, but they're heretics on one or more points, notorious heretics, and therefore they're outside the Catholic Church and they're not true Catholics. They believe this is a sure sign that they are Catholic and pleasing to God. Well, the Greek schismatics, Russian Orthodox schismatic Copts, and Protestants experience consolations when they perform their religious duties. And they likewise say that this is a sure sign that they are pleasing to God, and thus their religions are also pleasing to God, and therefore true. Even Muslims, Talmudic Jews, and pagans get consoled when they perform their religious duties. And thus they believe that they are pleasing to God, and therefore their religions are true. If consolations are a sure sign that a man and thus his religion are pleasing to God, then all of the world's religions would be pleasing to God because those who practice false religions believe it is God who consoles them, or multiple gods. Consequently, this would make the true God a liar and a deceiver. But we know that the true God is all good and all honest and desires all men to know, fear, love, worship, and obey Him, so as to attain eternal life. Therefore, the one true God, the Catholic God, is not pleased with heretics, schismatics, and other non-Catholics and their false religions. Nor is He pleased with Catholics who are guilty of mortal sin. God is only pleased with Catholics who are in a state of grace. God never encourages nor justifies men by consoling them while they are doing something sinful or otherwise displeasing to Him. So then, what is the origin of all these consolations that heretics, schismatics, and other non-Catholics and bad Catholics receive? These consolations come from Satan, and thus are false consolations, because these men obstinately receive not the love of the truth, because they obstinately believe in religious falsehoods, or obstinately commit immoral sins. God sends them the operation of error, of false consolations, false miracles, false apparitions, or false prosperity, so that they may believe religious falsehoods and other lies and be deep-rooted in their sinful ways. Quote, 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-11, Antichrist, whose coming is according to the working of Satan, and all power and signs and lying wonders, and all seduction of iniquity to them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Therefore God shall send them the operation of error, to believe lying, that all may be judged who have not believed the truth, but have consented to iniquity. End quote. Their deep-rooted hatred of the truth causes God to justly punish them with a deep-rooted love of their sinful beliefs and ways. This operation of error that God allows comes from Satan and not from God. God permits the devil to deceive those who are worthy of being deceived, while God withdraws His grace and protection from such souls. Indeed, a false consolation is an operation of error, a lying sign and wonder. The members of many different false religions who are under this operation of error refer to their consolations in different ways. Protestants are consoled by being slain in the spirit, others by speaking in tongues, and others by similar ways. And charismatics of the Vatican II Church are similarly consoled. While they believe they are inspired by good angels, they are in fact inspired by evil angels, devils. Hindus are consoled when they enter the state of nirvana, witches, warlocks, and wizards are consoled by devils and damned humans whom they summon by sinful divination. Doing the same thing, New Agers are consoled by channeling the spirits. Muslim martyrs were consoled to the point of being willing to die for their false god and false religion of Islam. And other Muslims venerate them, visit their graves, and say that these Muslim martyrs visit them from heaven and give them great consolations. No doubt these are false consolations from the devil. Schismatics, such as the Greek Orthodox, are consoled when they go to confession, attend Mass, receive the Holy Eucharist, which they do confess validly, receive the other sacraments and pray, and many of their prayers are identical to the Roman Catholic prayers. Even though these schismatics abuse these things by their unworthy and sacrilegious use of them, they get consolations. No doubt, these are false consolations from the devil. And the worst of all false consolations are ones given to nominal Catholics. They too are consoled when they go to confession, attend Mass, receive the Holy Eucharist, receive the other sacraments, and pray. Even though they abuse these things by their unworthy and sacrilegious use of them, they get consolations. And there can be no doubt whatsoever that these are false consolations from the devil. All of these non-Catholics receive what they believe are true consolations, and therefore believe they are pleasing to God, when the opposite is the truth. Their religions are false, and thus not pleasing to God, and hence their consolations are likewise false and of the devil. Consequently, one cannot trust consolations alone. For even alcoholics and drug addicts are consoled when they abuse alcohol and drugs, and sexual perverts are consoled when they fulfill their lustful desires. And I can even add, even when you're legitimately drinking alcohol, you're not getting drunk or something, you get a warm, legitimate feeling you're allowed to get, but that's not religious. Because true and false consolations can feel the same, and true and false punishments can feel the same, how can one determine which are true or which are false? How does one discern the spirit from which the consolation or punishment comes? How can one determine if consolations and punishments are from God or the devil? The only sure guide is to judge all of these things in the light of the truth, especially the truths contained in the full deposit of the Catholic faith, which includes the Ten Commandments. God never consoles men to confirm them in their heresy, schism, or immorality. Instead, if God sees some goodwill in men who commit these sins, God punishes them. It is Satan who consoles men to confirm them in their heresy, schism, or immorality. For example, if a man says he's consoled when he commits the mortal sin of fornication, it is certain that this consolation is false and thus from the devil. The same applies to spiritual fornication. If a heretic or schismatic says he's consoled when he goes to confession or receives Holy Communion, it is certain that his consolations are false and thus from the devil, because God does not console men for committing the mortal sin of sacrilege, nor confirm men in their heresy or schism. Therefore, to come out from under the operation of error, men must stop trusting in consolations and receive the love of the truth. The operation of error comes upon men who received not the love of the truth. Therefore, it is the love of the truth that will set men free from the operation of error. Quote, "The truth shall make you free." Men must judge everything, no matter how good it seems or feels, in the light of the truth. The only sure way to tell if a sign or wonder or consolation or prosperity is true or false is to judge it according to the objective, absolute, infallible truth as taught by the Holy Catholic Church, and not according to your senses. If one is not under the operation of error and wishes to remain so, he must continue to love the truth. Even non-Catholics can love the truth, even though they have not yet found it. If they are good-willed, they will sincerely seek the truth and find it. If they sincerely seek the truth, they will not obstinately hold to religious falsehoods or obstinately commit sins of immorality. And this merits them further enlightenment and protection from God. Dear so-called Catholic, if you are not truly concerned about the truth, about what the priest and people believe in the church where you attend Mass, then you are more than worthy to be under the operation of error, because you do not really love the truth. John 17:17, our Lord says, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. John, I think, is 4:23, even it says, adore the Father in spirit and truth. That means that if you are receiving consolations, they are false and thus from the devil. I assure you that if you die in such a state, your consolations will end and your eternal torments will begin. Subheading, false consolations from false miracles, apparitions, and prosperity. What has been said about consolations also applies to miracles and apparitions and prosperity. False miracles and false apparitions and false prosperity are also operations of error that God allows to fool men who love not the truth. St. John teaches that you must not believe every spirit, that is, you must not trust every consolation, miracle, apparition, or prosperity until you first try them. Quote, dearly beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits if they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. Prophets and the spirits are tried by seeing if they conform to the teachings of the Catholic Church. We read the Douay commentary on 1 John 4:1, quote, try the spirits by examining whether their teachings be agreeable to the rule of the Catholic faith and the doctrine of the Church. For as he says, he that knoweth God heareth us. By this we know that the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, end quote. While encouraging the spirit of true prophecy, St. Paul warns that prophecy must first be proved to see if it is true or false. If it contains any evil, it is false. Quote, despise not prophecies, but prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. From all appearance of evil, refrain yourself. 1 Thessalonians 5:20-22. Moses provides a sure way of detecting false prophets as well as lying signs and wonders. Quote, if there arise in the midst of thee a prophet, or one that saith he dreamed a dream, or he foretold a sign and a wonder, and that come to pass which he spoke, and say to thee, let us go and follow strange gods which thou knowest not, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hear the words of that prophet or dreamer. For the Lord God trieth you, that it may appear whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul or not. Follow the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments. Deuteronomy 13:1-14. Therefore, no matter how stupendous, good, or holy a sign or wonder seems or feels, it is false if it defends or encourages religious falsehoods that contradict dogmas or encourages disobedience to God's other commandments. St. Paul rejects and curses even an angel from heaven who would teach another gospel, another religion, by denying dogmas. Quote, but though we or an angel from heaven preach a gospel to you, besides that which we have preached to you, let him be anathema.
Galatians 1:8.
Let no one doubt that God gives the devil the power to deceive men by false miracles. After all, God allowed Pharaoh's magicians to turn a rod into a serpent and change water into blood. Quote, so Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh and did as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron took the rod before Pharaoh and his servants, and it was turned into a serpent. And Pharaoh called the wise men and the magicians, we call them Weisenheimers, and they also by Egyptian enchantments and certain secrets did in like manner. And they, everyone, cast down their rods, and they were turned into serpents. But Aaron's rod devoured their rods. Exodus 7:10-12. And from Exodus 7:20-22, Moses and Aaron did as the Lord had commanded. And lifting up the rod, he struck the water of the river before Pharaoh and his servants, and it was turned into blood. And the fishes that were in the river died, and the river corrupted. And the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river, and there was blood in all of Egypt. And the magicians of the Egyptians with their enchantments did in like manner, end quote. The devil can also make Ouija boards respond, and horoscopes succeed, if God allows it. These are lying signs and wonders because they defend false gods or religious falsehoods or sins of immorality or sinners. These are operations of error that God allows to fool those who receive not the love of the truth. God does not allow the operation of error to fool all sinners, but only the most obstinate. For instance, if a non-obstinate sinner dabbles with a Ouija board or a horoscope, God will not allow the Ouija board to respond or a horoscope to come to pass. He will prevent the devil from making it work. We see then, the worst thing I always say is when God allows the devil to do that, you can get hooked on his stuff. And then you really think it's the Ouija board or the horoscope, and it's just the devil doing this. We see then that men can be easily fooled if they trust in their senses alone. Many men feel and believe that they are right and thus pleasing to God, when in truth they are wrong and displeasing to God and thus on the road to hell. Quote, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet they are not washed from their filthiness. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, and the ends thereof is death." Proverbs 30:12 and 16:25. St. Paul says, "I am not conscious to myself of anything, yet I am not hereby justified."
1 Corinthians 4:4.
No heretic or schismatic or idolater or apostate thinks his way is wrong. Quote, "Every way of a man seemeth right to himself." Proverbs 21:2. "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes." Proverbs 12:15. Hence, the nominal Catholic thinks he is Catholic, pure, and on the road to heaven, when in fact, he is a non-Catholic, filthy, and on the road to hell. His false consolations or signs and wonders or visions or apparitions or prosperity are operations of error sent from God so that he may become deep-rooted in his evil ways because of his deep-rooted hatred of the truth. Trusting their senses and not loving the truth, above all else, nominal Catholics and bad Catholics are worthy of this operation of error. Subheading, false devotion to Mary and other false devotions. In his book, True Devotion to Mary, St. Louis Maria de Montfort identifies another source of false consolations, false devotions to Mary. Quote, number 92, "There are, I find, seven kinds of false devotion to Mary, namely, the devotion of the critical, the scrupulous, the superficial, the presumptuous, the inconstant, the hypocritical, the self-interested." End quote. False devotees believe they are good Catholics. Many seem very pious, and many receive consolations, whereas they are actually nominal Catholics or bad Catholics whose pieties and consolations are false and only serve to confirm them in their mortal sins. They are under this operation of error because they obstinately receive not the love of the truth by not believing in or not obeying one or more of God's commandments, which include dogmas of faith and morals as taught by the Holy Catholic Church. Again, we read from St. Louis Maria de Montfort's True Devotion of Mary, number 200. "Finally, chosen souls keep to the ways of the Blessed Virgin, their loving mother. That is, they imitate her, and so are sincerely happy and devout, and bear the infallible sign of God's chosen ones. This loving mother says to them, 'Happy are those who keep my ways,' which means, 'Happy are those who practice my virtues, and who with the help of God's grace follow the path of my life. On the other hand, sinners are unhappy during their life, at their death and throughout eternity, because they do not imitate the virtues of Our Lady. They are satisfied with going no further than joining her confraternities, reciting a few prayers in her honor, or performing other exterior devotional exercises. O Blessed Virgin, my dear mother, how happy are those who faithfully keep your ways, your counsels, and your commands, who never allow themselves to be led astray by false devotion to you. But how unhappy and accursed are those who abuse devotion to you by not keeping the commandments of your Son. They are cursed who stray from your commandments." You remember Jesus said in Matthew 19:17, "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." You stray from God's commandments, and hence from the Blessed Mother Mary, if you commit one mortal sin, either against the faith by heresy, or against charity by schism, or against the moral commandments by sins of immorality, and remain unrepented in that sin. If you are knowingly in religious communion with heretics, schismatics, and other non-Catholics, you have strayed from God's commandments and from the Blessed Mother, and hence all your devotions, consolations, miracles, visions, apparitions, or prosperity are false. No matter how pious, devout, or holy you think you are, hear me, fallen away Catholics. Even though you think you are devoted Catholics, you are not Catholic and your devotions are false. You say you are consoled when you go to confession, attend Mass, receive the Holy Eucharist, and pray the Rosary. And I say, verily, 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 your consolations are false, lying signs that God allowed the devil to give you because you received not the love of the truth. Your belief in heresy or schism or your being in communion with heretics or schismatics is proof that you have not received the love of the truth. And thus God has allowed you to be fooled by false consolations. God is not the author of sin, and as He does not reward heretics or schismatics or other non-Catholics with true consolations in their illegal religious acts, nor those who are knowingly in communion with them. When I was speaking to my sister even on a faith, and she came out, and she's rich, we don't even know what a heresy or a dogma is. All those years, they went to all these so-called Catholic schools and Catholic universities and have all these degrees and they're idiots. You don't know what a heresy or a dogma is. You don't even know what you need to believe in, let alone the truth. They don't even know the basics of the faith. Yet you're getting consoled. And even some people who do study and they're in heresy, it doesn't matter. You have these other pseudo-intellectuals, that's all they do is study, but they're studying the modern theologians and they're in deep heresies. Subheading, good Catholics do not expect consolations. Do not be fooled. Not even good Catholics deserve consolations. We only deserve the cross and the pain and suffering that comes with it. Yes, God consoles us if it pleases Him to do so, but we should never expect it and certainly do not deserve it. Does this scare you? Dear reader, if it does, then you have rejected the cross and therefore cannot be a disciple of the Lord. Quote, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 8:34. Quote, and whosoever doth not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:27. For unto you it is given for Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him. Philippians 1:29. We read from the Imitation of Christ, Book 2, Chapter 10. I do not desire consolation that robs me of contrition, nor do I care for contemplation that leads to pride. For not all that is high is holy, nor is all that is sweet good, nor every desire pure, nor all that is dear to us pleasing to God. I accept willingly the grace whereby I become more humble and contrite, more willingly to renounce self. Jesus has always many who love His heavenly kingdom, but few who bear His cross. He has many who desire consolation, but few who care for trial. Those who love Him for His own sake, and not for any comfort of their own, bless Him in all trial and anguish of heart, as well as in the bliss of consolation. Even if He should never give them consolation, yet they will continue to praise Him and wish always to give Him thanks. What power there is in pure love for Jesus? Love that is free from all self-interest and self-love? Do not those who always seek consolation deserve to be called mercenaries? Do not those who always think of their own profit and gain prove that they love themselves rather than Christ? Where can a man be found who desires to serve God for nothing? Rarely indeed is a man so spiritual as to strip himself of all things, end quote. And this is St. Louis Maria de Montfort's prayer to Mary. Quote, finally, dearly beloved Mother, grant, if it be possible, that I may have no other spirit than Thine, to know Jesus and His divine will, that I may have no other soul but Thine, to praise and glorify the Lord, that I may have no other heart but Thine, to love God with a love as pure and ardent as Thine. I do not ask Thee for visions, revelations, sensible devotion, or spiritual pleasures. I wish for no other than that which was Thine, to believe sincerely without spiritual pleasures, to suffer joyfully without human consolation, to die continually to myself with without respite, and to work zealously and unselfishly for Thee until death as the humblest of Thy servants. The only grace I beg thee to obtain for me is that every day and every moment of my life I may say, Amen, so be it, to all that thou didst do while on earth. Amen, so be it, to all that thou art now doing in heaven. Amen, so be it, to all that thou art doing in my soul. So that thou alone mayest fully glorify Jesus in me for time and eternity. End quote. It is not that true consolations are bad. They are good and even necessary. But Catholics should not seek or desire them or place them above the love of the truth and the cross. Men can think they love God when in reality they only love the consolations that God gives them. As soon as a real hard cross comes, they reject it and turn from the true God who demands that they carry the cross, which proves that they do not truly love God with their whole heart, soul, and mind. We're now going to read from the section titled, God Consoles Non-Catholics and Bad Catholics When They Move Away from Falsehoods and Other Sins and Towards Truth and Holiness. And the devil consoles for the opposite reasons. One may ask, does God console only good Catholics and hence never console non-Catholics and bad Catholics? No, God consoles non-Catholics and bad Catholics in order to move them away from their falsehoods and sins and toward the truth and holiness. God consoles them only when they move in the right direction by rejecting religious falsehoods and immorality and by making a sincere effort to amend their lives. Conversely, God never consoles anyone when they sin or do things that are otherwise displeasing to Him. God consoles men when they move forward toward Him, but does not console them when they move backward away from Him. God consoles a man who moves forward and punishes a man who moves backward. The devil punishes a man who moves forward and consoles a man who moves backward. We read from St. Ignatius Loyola's Spiritual Exercises, Rules for the Discernment of Spirits, First Week. The enemy is accustomed ordinarily to propose apparent pleasures to those persons who go from mortal sin to mortal sin. He thus causes them to imagine sensual delights and pleasure in order to hold them more and more easily and to increase their vices and sins. The good spirit acts in these persons in a contrary way, awakening the conscience to a sense of remorse through the good judgment of the reason. The contrary to the first rule takes place in those who earnestly strive to purify themselves from their sins and who advance from good to better in the service of God our Lord. Then it is common for the evil spirit to cause anxiety and sadness and to create obstacles based on false reasoning through preventing the soul from making further progress. It is characteristic of the good spirit to give courage and strength, consolation, tears, inspiration, and peace, making things easy and removing all obstacles so that the soul may make further progress in good works. Basically, when you're going forward, the good angel comforts you, gives you peace, you're doing the right thing. When you're going forward, the bad angel, the devils come in and put obstacles, make you feel anxious, make you feel like you're doing something wrong, and create all kinds of troubles to make you think that you're not doing something correct. Now he says also, when a cause has proceeded, both a good angel and the evil one may console the soul, but for different purposes. The good angel works for the advancement of the soul, that it may grow and rise to what is more perfect. The evil one consoles for the opposite purpose, that he may draw the soul on to his own evil designs and wickedness. Consoles! And these are real consolations that don't feel any different than maybe the ones that God's given you. The only difference is, why are you being consoled? That's why everything has to be judged in the light of the faith and the moral commandments. It is characteristic of the evil one to transform himself into an angel of light, to work with the soul in the beginning, but in the end to work for himself. At first he will suggest good and holy thoughts that are in conformity with the disposition of a just soul, someone who's good. He knows he can't fake him any other way. Then little by little he strives to gain his own ends by drawing the soul into his hidden deceits and perverse designs. We must pay close attention to the course of our thoughts, and in the beginning, middle, and end are all good and directed to what is entirely necessarily right. It is a sign that they are inspired by the good angel. He's saying the only way you can tell is the consolations are from God or from the devil is if your life is changing, moving in the right direction, you're becoming more moral, you're becoming less immoral, you're becoming more faithful, you're becoming less unfaithful. And your whole life is changing for the better in the light of the Catholic faith and what the Catholic Church teaches what is good and evil. Not what the United States teaches as to what is good and evil. Because the United States calls evil good and good evil. That's, remember Isaiah said, well, Isaiah 5:20. Woe to you who call good evil and evil good and put darkness for light and light for darkness. So I don't care. You can tell me you're being consoled by receiving the Holy Eucharist and going to confession until you're blue in the face. If it's a non-Catholic church and a heretical church, it's false consolations from the devil. Subheading, the devil will make you feel guilty for not attending Mass at a non-Catholic church. For instance, when by God's grace and aid you stop attending Mass at a non-Catholic church and stop receiving the Holy Eucharist from the non-Catholic priest, the devil will try with all his might to get you to return. The devil, posing as an angel of light, will disturb your conscience by making you feel that you are sinning by not fulfilling your Sunday obligation to attend Mass. He will suggest that you cannot have life in you or remain free from sin unless you receive the Holy Eucharist regularly. He will also suggest that without access to the sacrament of penance, you cannot have your sins forgiven under any circumstances. When no Catholic priest is available, the devil may even suggest that you must then receive the Holy Eucharist from or go to confession to a non-Catholic priest, or your current sinful condition will only get worse and worse. But the opposite is the truth. Oh, dear reader, hear me loud and clear. The opposite is the truth. Do not be deceived. By knowingly praying in communion with or receiving sacraments from non-Catholic priests, not only will you never overcome your sinful condition, but you will also eventually commit additional mortal sins. And if you do overcome a current sin, you will add two new ones instead. You will go from worse to worse until you are placed under the operation of error, at which point your conscience will be dead, and hence you will rest comfortably in your evil ways. You will never truly overcome your sins until you sincerely abjure from the great apostasy and come into the true Catholic Church. Only then will you see and experience the good fruit that God and Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, will produce in you. Oh yes, you will be truly crucified and tried by fire. But this is precisely what produces good fruit and brings true peace. All of us who have sincerely abjured testify that we never really totally overcame our sins and faults while attending Mass at non-Catholic churches and going to confession to non-Catholic priests. Not until we stopped attending Mass at non-Catholic churches and receiving sacraments from non-Catholic priests, and we came into the Holy Catholic Church by abjuration, did we stop committing the same sins and faults that we had been committing our whole life. God works with us in miraculous ways and demands perfection and makes it happen as long as we are willing. It would take too long here to describe all the graces and helps God gives us, and in many miraculous ways. For the first time in my life, I can truly say that God hears and answers my prayers and manifests His power to me in so many wonderful ways. See my book, How to Be a Good Catholic. Good Catholics Obey God's Commandments. Beware then of the false prophets, the pretend Catholic bishops and priests, who speak for the devil and tell you that under no circumstances can you overcome your mortal sins and save your soul unless you attend Mass and receive the Holy Eucharist or receive the sacrament of penance, even if you must be in religious communion with heretics, schismatics, and other non-Catholics. For example, the devil will make you, say you're committing like three mortal sins a week of fornication. You're abusing yourself or you're fornicating with someone else, and you're committing three of those sins every week. And you go to confession every Saturday and you confess them to this non-Catholic priest. And then you're not getting your sins remitted, you're committing sacrilege and other sins. Then you go out next week and you're still committing the three same mortal sins. And then you come back the next week, the priest gives you absolution, you go to Mass on Sunday and receive the Holy Eucharist. This is going on month after month. Then you finally decide to stop going because you're listening to maybe a sermon I'm speaking now. Let me see if what Richard is saying is correct. I'm going to stay home now. And then the devil gets you to believe, you know, if you stay home and don't go to confession at all, you're going to commit six mortal sins, not three. And then it'll be 12, and before you know it, you're going to be committing these mortal sins. Oh, so bad if you don't go. At least by going to confession to this non-Catholic priest, you're keeping those mortal sins in check. But guess what, folks? What does the Catholic Church teach? If you're continuing to commit mortal sins after, let's say, a six-month period of time, any good confession will tell you, you're not being forgiven. You're not sincere. You're not even trying. The true proof of a holy, true confession is that you have a firm purpose of amendment, sorrow for your sins, and you eventually and very shortly stop committing those sins. And if you're not stopped committing those sins altogether, your confessions are false. And even if you go to a true Catholic priest without your true motive, it's not happening. So what you really should say to yourself is, confession ain't working. I'm still committing the same mortal sin, whether it's three or six or one. Then you have to say, what is the reason? You could even be going to a true Catholic priest and it can happen to you because you're not sincere. But I'm telling you right now, if you're going to a non-Catholic priest to confession, you don't even have a hope. Even if you are sincere and you really want to stop committing them, you ain't going to be able to stop committing them because you're going to a non-Catholic priest. He can't absolve you. You're not getting your sins remitted and you're committing the sins of sacrilege and you're a presumed heretic and you're outside the Catholic Church. You got all that mess to deal with. So don't let the devil fool you and make you say, oh, I only committed three mortal sins last week, and so the confessions keep me in check. Now, if I don't go to this priest, I'm going to commit six or eight. But I'm telling you this, folks, because this is what the devil did to me, how he fooled me. I continue to go non-Catholic priest for a certain period of time because of that fear. But not until I really came into the church and stopped going to these priests altogether did my life, and still now, is progressively getting perfect and holy. No mortal sins that I know of, unless I have secret ones and I hope I don't. I can tell you even false God is perfecting his son. I see it happen to every brother that comes in here. And the devil doesn't want you to stop committing the mortal sins. He doesn't want you to stop committing them. That's one of the tricks he pulls on you. A true prophet, Ezekiel, condemns these false prophets who do all in their power to make you rest comfortably in your mortal sins by telling you you can go to these heretic non-Catholic priests to confession and you can go to their masses. Even the prophets of Israel that prophesy to Jerusalem and that see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. And now, son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people that prophesy out of their own heart, and do thou prophesy against them and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to them that sew cushions under every elbow and make pillows for the heads of persons of every age to catch souls. And when they caught the souls of my people, they give life to their souls. They tell them, they pretend. They're saying, oh, I'm giving you life. And they violated me among my people for a handful of barley and a piece of bread to kill souls which should not die, and to save souls alive which should not live. They tell the wicked that they're just, and they tell the just that they're wicked. Telling lies to my people, that they, in other words, they would be saying, don't go to Richard, he's wicked. But don't worry, you unjust person who's going to confession to these non-Catholic priests, you're just. That's what they do. It's the complete reason. He says, again, and they violated me among my people for a handful of barley and a piece of bread to kill souls which should not die and to save souls alive that should not live, telling lies to my people that believe lies. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I declare against your cushions, which you catch flying souls, and I will tear them off from your arms, and I will let go the souls that you catch, the souls that should fly. The goodwill people that are continuing to go to you people because they're temporarily being deceived. This preaching I'm giving you will set you free when you get away from these bastards. Tear yourself away from these non-Catholic churches and these non-Catholic priests and stop going to their masses and stop going to confession for them. Stop receiving the sacraments from them and don't even go to them for secular things. And spit on them if you see them walking down the street and run as far away from them as you could and come into the true Catholic Church. And I will tear your pillows and will deliver my people out of your hand. Neither shall they be any more in your hands to be a prey. And you shall know that I am the Lord, because with lies you have made the heart of the just to mourn, whom I have not made sorrowful, and have strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from the evil way and live. Because they tell them that you're fine, you're forgiven, you're not in sins. they let them rest comfortably in their mortal sins. Therefore, you shall not see vain things nor divine divinations anymore. And I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And that will not happen until God destroys these priests. That's the first most important thing we in Mary's little remnant, us few Catholics, pray for. The most evil people in this whole world are not your hardcore Satanists, are not Talmudic and apostate Jews, are not Muslims, are not Buddhists, are not Hindus. They're evil, very evil. They're not as evil as nominal Catholic bishops and priests who call themselves Catholic and are destroying everybody under their care and leading the whole world astray by not allowing these people to get the truth that they need to save their souls. And God will destroy them. He'll allow the Antichrist to do it. He's going to knock down their churches. He's going to knock down their homes. He's going to kill them. He's going to thrash them, and they're gone. And then all that's going to be left is us here preaching the true Catholic faith, and then you will be free to see the difference between the two. But I will tell you, do not tempt God and wait for that day to happen, because you may die tomorrow before that happens and you're going to go to hell. Let my preaching now be to you to come into the true Catholic Church now and get away from these nasty churches where you know these priests are heretics, where you know, and even, look, and either, there's only two things happening here. If you know they're heretics and you go there, then you're admitting that you are knowingly praying communion to notorious heretics. And you're a presumed heretic on that point alone, automatically excommunicated from the Catholic Church with a grave suspicion of heresy, or you believe in heresy yourself. You have two choices. Either way, you're outside the Catholic Church by an ipso facto automatic excommunication. Stop listening to these people like the apostate Diamond Bros who go week and week and week and week to this non-Catholic priest at St. Jehoshaphat Church in Rochester, New York, who's praying in communion with the apostate anti-pope Benedict XVI, who they condemn all over their webpage. And they're praying in communion with the bastard. Get away from these people now. Don't wait for the time of destruction to come, because you may die tomorrow, you may die next week, you may die next month, and you're going to hell. But this is a little thing when you do see these happen, and that's our prayer. When these guys are moved out of the way, so they're no longer, what do they call that, interference on the radio. To try to make our preachings muffled, they go in there with their false teachings and try to silence, and they give people these false consolations and false comforts, resting comfortably in their mortal sins. That's my ultimate prayer, that these nominal Catholic bishops and priests get their asses kicked down into the lower pits of hell. And I'll tell you, if you're out there and you are one of these guys, these priests or bishops I'm talking about, you better convert before that happens, because you don't realize that you're the most evil person in the whole world, and that if everyone that dies goes to the deepest pit of hell. A nominal Catholic bishop and priest, they go to the deepest pits of hell. Deepest. Along with JP2, their master, and people like them. The Catholic commentary in Ezekiel 13:18 says, cushions by making people easy in their sins and promising them impunity by disguising the truth or not admonishing people of their danger. Souls, that is, they flattered them with promises of life, peace, and security. People are often said to do what they only announce. These impostors pretended to save while they really destroyed. They showed a cruel mercy, detaining the people in captivity. And another Catholic commentary in Ezekiel 13:19, violated me. That is, dishonored and discredited me. They employed the name of God to give credit to their lies for the smallest advantage. Souls, that is, to sentence souls to death, which are not to die, and to promise life to them that are not to live. They contradicted Jeremiah. And there's another quote, I think Proverbs 17:16-15. Woe to you who condemn the just and justify the condemned. And that's what's going on here. And they're going to be pointing us, they're condemning us, and they're justifying themselves. But look at them, what they're doing. Look at their lives. Look at how they're living. Do they speak the way I speak? Do they speak out against sin in a world that is steeped in sin in these final days? No, they run from it. They're a bunch of wimpy, little, effeminate, faggot cowards. And if they're not homosexuals, they're doing something else mortally sinful in their immoral lives. I don't got to follow them around. The sins against the faith are even worse against sins of morality, but they're all under the Romans 1 curse. Beware then of these false prophets, of these pretend Catholic bishops and priests, whom the devil uses to sow cushions under your elbows so that you rest comfortably in your sins. Beware when they quote out of context the Catholic Church's teachings regarding the general necessity of Mass, the sacrament of penance, and the Holy Eucharist by trying to make you believe that you cannot under any circumstances be saved without them. Even though these temptations pose as great goods, they are contrary to the truth and hence are very great evils. For there were times in the Catholic Church when Catholics had no Catholic priests available to them and thus could not attend Mass, receive the Holy Eucharist, or receive the Sacrament of Penance. And many of these Catholics were saints. See in this book here, Faith Before the Mass and Sacraments, Catholics who had no access to Catholic priests and avoided non-Catholic priests. And they will hide the Catholic Church's teachings that Catholics can save their souls when no Catholic priests are available, and hence when they cannot attend Mass, receive the Holy Eucharist, or receive the Sacrament of Penance. These false prophets are just like any other heretics. They quote Church teachings out of context and hide other teachings that condemn their false interpretations. The next subheading is, the devil will tell you to stay in religious communion with heretics to convert them. The devil may even suggest that you must stay in a non-Catholic church and remain in communion with the notorious heretics to try to convert them. The devil will even say that this is your obligation and that you would be a coward if you left the church instead of staying in it and trying to convert its members. Yet this is contrary to the Catholic Church's infallible teachings, which decree that Catholics are forbidden to attend Mass at non-Catholic churches and pray in communion with notorious heretics or schismatics. It is also contrary to the law upon the heart, which is known by common sense. A man does not convert sinners by joining with them when they are sinning, and thus being a partner in their sins. Instead of converting the sinners will certainly convert him. A man does not convert prostitutes by going into a house of prostitution and joining with them when they are sinning and thus being a partner in their crimes by sins of association and omission. His presence there is as a member among other members, and thus he actually justifies the house of prostitution and its members. To truly convert these prostitutes, he must condemn the house of prostitution and denounce its members and tell them to repent and come out of the house of prostitution and have nothing to do with it whatsoever. As long as he stays in communion with the house of prostitution, it is he who has converted to their sinful ways. Hence, as long as the so-called Catholic remains in the non-Catholic church and knowingly prays in communion with notorious heretics and schismatics, they have already converted him while he thinks he is converting them. Instead of bringing them inside the Catholic Church, he remains outside the Catholic Church along with those whom he thinks he is converting. Take heed to the following admonishments from St. Paul. Bear not the yoke with unbelievers. For what participation hath justice with injustice? Or what fellowship hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath the faithful with the unbeliever? And what agreement had the temple of God with the idols? Wherefore go out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5:11. Subheading, the good angel inspires you to avoid religious communion with heretics and schismatics. We know that the good angel works the opposite of the bad angel. Therefore, when by God's grace and aid, you stop attending Mass at non-Catholic churches, the good angel will bring upon you a great peace and satisfaction because you are no longer committing sins of omission by keeping your mouth shut when you attend Mass at a non-Catholic church full of notorious heretics or schismatics, and you are no longer committing sins of association, and you are, because that, those sins particularly also make you a presumed heretic, under the grave suspicion of heresy, and automatically excommunicate you from the Catholic Church. On top of it, you commit multiple mortal sins. You will begin to see the truth more and more clearly and profess it more and more boldly. The good angel will inspire in you a feeling of cleanness, and hence you will no longer feel dirty and ashamed for being associated in religious matters with notorious heretics or notorious schismatics. Subheading, heroes and not cowards flee from religious communion with heretics and schismatics. Far from being a coward as a Catholic who fulfills his obligation to condemn sin, denounce sinners, and avoid heretics and schismatics and other non-Catholics in religious matters. This is one of the greatest heroic deeds which is inspired by the spirit of martyrdom. Such a Catholic truly carries his cross by being persecuted in every way and to the utmost degree by almost all men for the love of God and of all of his commandments above all other things. He will have proved that he does not love the evil ways of this world or even his life in this world because he is willing to lose all things for Christ, even the loss of all human companionship and worldly possessions, as many saints did who fled to the desert. Jesus teaches that, quote, every one of you that doth not renounce all that he possesses cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:33. Who would dare call these great saints cowards who renounced all things they possessed and fled from religious communion with heretics, schismatics, and other non-Catholics and fled to the desert when necessary, as St. Athanasius did? The true cowards are those who are not willing to truly carry the cross all the way. Worldly people cannot give up human companionship and worldly things for more than a week without great difficulty, moaning, discomfort, complaining, and suffering. Yet good Catholics do it willingly and even joyfully. That, dear reader, is what Jesus meant when he said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 8:34. St. James denounces all those who would be friends of the world. Quote, adulterers, know you not that friendship of this world is the enemy of God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world becometh an enemy of God.
James 4:4.
Your traditionalist priests, all being non-Catholic heretics or schismatics, love their chapels and flock, little as they may be, more than they love God. And for the sake of a small worldly comforts these things afford them, they compromise and deny the truth so that they do not lose human respect or worldly comforts. Quote, for they love the glory of men more than the glory of God. John 12:43. St. Paul teaches that those who seek to please men over God are not true servants of Christ. Quote, do I seek to please men? If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Galatians 1:10. What he's talking about is the majority of men, because they're non-Catholics, they're either heretics or schismatics, or they're infidels, or they're pagans, or they're bad Catholics who are immoral. What participation should you even want to have with these people? That's what amazes me. These are evil people. Once you learn and you see the ways of God and you're around good Catholics, you don't want to be around these people. They're a plague to you. You love them. Yes, you really do. You want them to convert. You care for their souls, but you don't want to socialize with them. You don't want to hang out with them. It's even very difficult to be around them, because those are the worst beans I keep telling all you people about. And it's not pinto beans. And it's not navy beans. It's human beings. But why do people idolize these things? Because they're sinners themselves, full of mortal sins and filthy rebellions against God. And they rest comfortably in their sins. It's like a society of gangsters out there who comfort one another in their mortal sins. You shouldn't even want to be around these people. But what I'm telling you here, though, is I'm learning from my own mistakes. I know the devil pulled all these tricks on me. I stayed in these churches for a long time thinking that, boy, what are they going to do if I'm not in here? I can help them. You know, now I'm not staying in here because I love humans, because I didn't really like them. I loved them, but I didn't like them. I really abhorred them. I had a rough time staying there because I really wanted to get out. But that false charity, the devil was prompting me, Richard, what happens if you leave, you know? And then one day God said, I'm full of pride. He says, Richard, you're full of pride. Why? You think you're going to convert them just by your word? But guess what? They converted you because you're in their church. It's a non-Catholic church. They're all non-Catholics and you're praying with them. You lead more by example than by preaching. You know, so how can I tell them about all these sins? They'll say, well, you're with us, you're praying with us, so you're sharing with it. It's in other words, the only way you can try to convert people like that is coming from the outside, putting brochures on their churches, preaching to them, going in there and planting brochures in their churches and leaving. You can't be in religious communion with them. And that's one of the tricks the devil pulls on you. So it's not necessary. At that time, what I'm trying to say is, I really didn't like them. I abhorred them. I liked to stay alone. I didn't want to be around them. But this is even for people who know that these human beings are evil, which I did know. But there's that trap he pulls on you. But guess what? Even if you did convert somebody, where are you going to bring them? Back into that same church where everybody else is a heretic? It doesn't even make sense. There's no logic. There's nowhere you could even have brought them where there is a truth because you're in among them. Their whole hierarchic structures are heretics and apostates who have no offices even. So the devil tries to fool you by telling you. That's a big trick he tries to pull on you. I think one of those false apparition groups. And a lot of your false apparitions were responsible for that. They would come out and appease a lot of the people that knew things were wrong. And they say, oh, there's wicked priests. Oh, and they're not. And the cardinals are wicked and the bishops are wicked. But you don't leave the church at all costs. I think it was the Bayside apparitions were like that. Very deadly, those Bayside and the Veronica Lucan heretic, apostate, filthy pig, lousy witch, and her false apparitions. Say a lot of things, too, about the Mass. Oh, and kneel down very reverent and try to show the people how to be holy. It's like, you know, our Lord refers to these homes as houses of prostitution in which they denied Him. And that they're putting their filthy hands on Him in the Holy Eucharist, just like Satanists do when they steal it. It's the same thing. And they would tell you, you have to stay there and convert them. When the longer you stay there, you're already converted to them. You can never have a hope to come to the true church. I say it a million times, Catholics are forbidden, banned under pain of automatic excommunication, to be in any kind of religious communion with non-Catholics, which includes heretics and schismatics. Any kind of heretic and schismatic. Even a material heretic, which can only be Catholics. So if you want to have a chance to save your immortal soul, you people that are attending these churches, you better read my book, Faith Before the Mass and Sacraments. And stop going to these non-Catholic churches. And stop praying in communion with these non-Catholics. And stop receiving sacraments from them. Because you're committing multiple mortal sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.